wait for the glasses to demist a bit. Okay, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you my rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
The second reading is from Luke, chapter 1, verse 46 to 55. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever.
Well, those of you who have been here over these last few weeks, you realise that that we've been looking at this passage for a while now, and one of the true confessions of people that have to stand in pulpits and or in places where they teach, is that at Christmas time it gets a challenge because here you are, you've got to somehow share a message that everybody knows the story. And you've got to, well, you're tempted to think, I've got to come up with some new take on this. And here I am, been reading this same passage to you for, I think, the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I hope by doing that, that you realise that there's depth in God's word, that it takes us a long time to plumb, and there's truth that there's lots of truth here that we probably best digest one piece at a time. And I just, my prayer for you today is that you might allow your hearts, and that you might actually desire, and that your minds might think and be impressed afresh by just how wonderful the Lord Jesus is. And the fact that he is called the Saviour, and that he is Christ, he's Messiah, he's the Anointed One. And I just wonder whether your thinking will be refreshed and blessed, and you will appreciate him in a new way. I think it's easy for us to think of him as King and Lord, as Creator, as Mighty. And yes, that's true, he is. But because, yes, he is exalted. But I wonder, as we step into 2022, if the Lord gives us a few more days in this old world, I wonder whether we can, and I pray that we can, do so with trust and with confidence in this Saviour, in Jesus. There's the words of a song that have been on my mind over these weeks, and we sang it a few weeks back, and it's a song called Exceeding Joy. And in the chorus, we see the very words that Julie read. My soul magnifies the Lord. My heart joys in God, my Saviour. And then in the verse, I think in about verse 52, it says, he lifts the lowly. And those few words, he lifts the lowly, that have just sort of come back to me and back to me and back to me, have just resonated over and over in my mind. He lifts the lowly. And I thought I was going to be preaching on that yesterday on Christmas Day, but God had something else in mind, and that's good. And so I just desperately want to share this with you today, and I hope that there's something lovely that he stirs in your hearts as we ponder these things. He lifts the lowly, and he has done great things for me. And that's part of the story that I wonder whether you might go away and go, you know what, there are things that the Lord has done. He's lifted me where I needed to be lifted. And he has done great things in me. And my prayer is that your heart will be truly stirred in that. I just haven't been able to get away from this, so I just feel it's right before God for me to bring this before you again. I sometimes wonder whether, as we look at a new year that is about to be upon us, and I wonder whether, you know, you might be one who's just hoping for better things. When Matt shared, and Matt only got about half an hour's notice that he would be doing the children's talk. Well, we asked him, would you like to do the children's talk? And Matthew ministers to children and to families down in Beaconsfield or Berwick? Berwick. And Matt has grown up here in this family, and now Matt and Monique are ministering down there. And you know, he just shared with the boys and girls how sometimes life, even for boys and girls, can be heavy and hard. And I think sometimes as parents or as grown-ups, as grandparents, we probably understand that. But even for boys and girls, sometimes life is hard, and as parents, we've got to be looking after them through those hard times. But we kind of hope a new year comes and it will be better. Maybe we might be thinking, well, and this is where the whole New Year's resolution comes in. You think, well, you know, I'm going to try harder. You know, I'm going to really get myself together, and I'm going to overcome the things that have undone me. I'm not going to watch so much television, or I'm going to try to be patient, or I don't know what. I don't know what the gap would, the thing that you would fill in on your list. Maybe you might be saying, I want to be more serious in my walk with Jesus. I want to be perhaps more holy or more devoted to Him, or more victorious, or you know, more of something. If I could just get to my act together, then I wouldn't be stuck again and again and again in the places I've been stuck in 2021. And I think it's natural for us to think like that, and natural for us to hope that things could be better. But my prayer is today that you would sit here and you would find welling up in your heart that you can have this confident trust, this confidence and this trust in Him who actually lifts up the lowly. The one who lifts up the lowly. You know, and when we first looked at this passage, the thing that stirred in my heart and I shared with you was that there was a sense of zeal in Mary as she spoke these words that are now here for us in the Word of God. And I think that sort of, it grew out of the fact that Mary had gone to be with her cousin Elizabeth, an older lady, but her cousin, and her cousin also was pregnant with John the Baptist. In her sixth month, the scripture says, and Mary was so delighted. Sorry, Elizabeth was so delighted to see Mary that the Spirit of God gave revelation to her as she heard the sound of Mary's voice, and she just said, "Oh, blessed are you!" And this is in verse 42. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women! Blessed is the child you will bear! But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now that's God speaking, obviously, into Elizabeth's heart to give her this understanding. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." And then this lovely statement, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, isn't that marvelous? Verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Doesn't that sound a little bit like Isaiah 9 and verse 7? "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." A promise made 700 years prior. And here's Elizabeth saying, God is accomplishing something. And I want you to know that God is accomplishing something in your life if you place the same trust and if you would believe the very things that the Lord is saying to you. The very things that the Lord is saying in His Word. And it doesn't matter how much you find it difficult. It doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much of a struggle it's been. It doesn't matter how much of a failure you might feel. It doesn't matter how much you think other people don't don't like you. You know what? It's none of your business what you think other people think. It's really a bit bizarre. We go that in, I think that they think. Well, you know, I struggled a few years back with a pastor back where we came from in Mudgee. I was absolutely sure he didn't like me. I used to think, this bloke doesn't like me. He doesn't think that I'm a mighty man of God like he thinks he is. And I had to come to a place of going, hang on, Michael. God loves me. It doesn't really matter what he thinks. It doesn't matter what I think he thinks of me. God loves me. Whether he thinks he's a mighty man of God and he thinks I'm not, who cares? And it was an important step in my life because God lifted up the person that was struggling, me, lifted up the lowly. See, we get stuck in some silly places sometimes. But I just praise God, he is the one who does great things. And I pray that you be able to tell part of the story. I don't know whether you lack confidence. I don't know whether you struggle to go on and you feel like giving up. I don't know whether you're struggling because you can't seem to say no to things that have undone you. I don't know whether you feel like a failure. I don't know whether you're not as good as, you know, that other pastor or whoever it is that's better at whatever you'd like to be good at. It actually doesn't matter because God has gifted you and he wants you to do particular things and you don't have to be as good as whoever it is. Amen. I remember when we first came here 14 years ago, I had somebody come up to me in the first couple of weeks. I think it might have been the first week and they said, well, you know, you know Billy Graham. And I had to think for a moment. I thought, well, actually, the Billy Graham organization, they haven't rung me up. Have they? They, you know, Billy's getting old. He was still alive back then. He's getting a bit old and they haven't rung me. I guess they're right. I'm no Billy Graham. But guess what? I don't have to be. Hallelujah. And so we get stuck in places where we think that we're perhaps not that good. Perhaps other people help us to feel like that at times. I don't know whether you feel like you've sinned again and again and again. And in your heart of hearts, you're so disappointed in yourself. I don't know whether you feel alone or whether you think you're the only one who struggles with the things you struggle with. I want to tell you that there is someone who is wonderful and there is someone who is Savior, and that person's name is Jesus, and he lifts up the lowly. His name is wonderful. He is the Savior. And not only does he lift up the lowly, but he became lowly. And this is what I feel is just so outstanding about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know whether you've taken him seriously, but this is a good reason to take him seriously. If you would think about the one who is a king, eternal king, the one who is the glory of heaven, the one who is the power and the authority, the one who is the living word, the one who speaks and things come into be, the one who is the exalted one, the one who is the anointed one, the one who is one with God, the one who is God who became man on that first Christmas morning, the one who would be an embryo, the one who would be tiny, the one who would be dependent as a little baby, the one who would then be an infant and then a child, the one who would be a teenager, the one who would be a man, the one who would be just a carpenter's son, or a carpenter's stepson, I should say, the one who would be doubted, the one who would be despised, the one who would be rejected, the one who would be tempted, just like you are. That's this Savior. The one who sweated, the one who was hungry, the one who didn't live in a time where he could have a hot shower or a cold shower any time he felt like it. You can. The King of Glory came into a world and was a man. The one who said, I thirst. The one who was hated. The one who was lied about. The one who faced family tensions. The one who confined himself in humanness. That is this Savior. That is this one who is wonderful. And the thing that astounds me is that he not only lifts up the lowly, which Mary testified to, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the lowly. She testified to that herself. We can testify to that very thing if we place the same trust in this same Saviour. Not only does Jesus lift up the lowly, but he himself became lowly. And one of my favourite verses, and I would probably pay a lot of money if anybody ever sees an old-fashioned Christian text in an op shop, buy it for me. If you see one of those ones with the nice fluted glass edges and the roses, you know, and then the text, the old-fashioned text across it says, "Come to me if you are tired and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Buy it. Don't ring me. Buy it. If they want $100 for it, that's fine. Just buy it, and I will pay for it, because my mum and dad had that on a wall when I was a little boy, and I don't know where it's gone. But that truth was sown into my heart when I was a little boy, and I believed it. I believe that Jesus invites us to come to him, because he lifts up the lowly. But not only does he lift up the lowly, he himself became lowly for us. And that's the amazing thing about Christ. Absolutely amazing. And he says, "Come to me if you're tired and weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And you know what the yoke is? He wants you to take upon him. He wants you to take the yoke of confidence and trust in him. "Take my yoke of confidence and trust in me, and what I will accomplish in you, and learn from me, for I am gentle," and some of your translations will say "and humble," others will say, "I am gentle and lowly. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, as I say, this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 has been precious to me throughout my life, this invitation to come. But there's always new light that would break forth. And as I've been thinking about the Lord who lifts up the lowly, I've been thinking also about the fact that he is the one that became lowly. The King of Glory becomes lowly and approachable. He becomes lowly, so it doesn't matter how low you go, he is there to catch you and to lift you up. Doesn't matter how many times you fail and disappoint yourself or disappoint others or feel like you're a disappointment to God, he lifts up the lowly, because he himself became lowly for us. What a wonderful Saviour. What amazing love. What gentleness. What kindness. The anointed one becomes the lowly one to lift up the lowly. You know, Jesus said things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." If you're here this morning, you don't feel like you've got your act together. You feel like you're perhaps spiritually bankrupt. Well, that's, Jesus said, you're blessed if you come to that understanding in your life. Blessed are the spiritually bankrupt, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he would lift you up. When you come to that point of realization of your enormous need, that's a place of blessing. Jesus felt things like this. He said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on people who were lost. He had compassion on people who weren't finding any help in religion at all. Jesus is the one who lifts up the lowly. Well, many of you know that we've had the blessing, and I would consider it part of the story that of blessing in our life, where God has provided a house for us in town, and that's been wonderful for these last 14 years. But my quiet desire to live outside of town has been fulfilled, and we're just living out of town a little ways, I think about that direction, about 3.8 kilometres from the edge of town, and we consider it just a lovely place to be able to live. It's still very convenient and a bit of space around us, and it's just, I guess, how I'm wired up. But we've inherited a couple of sheep, and they've had the run of the place for the last, I don't know, however many years, and the place has been empty except for the two sheep, for the last 3 years. And now we've turned up, and they think they own the place, and we're the visitors. And here I am. I would like to find out a little. They're two Dorper sheep. The wool falls off them. They don't have to be shorn. And I don't know how old they are. And I think, well, you know, I have a responsibility. It's not going to look good to the neighbours if one of my sheep, you know, ends up with his legs pointing up in the air. I would have neglected them. I'm trying to look after these sheep. But these sheep are pretty wild and pretty independent. And my dog hasn't got a clue what to do with sheep except chase them. And we won't let her do that. And, you know, these sheep are frightened sheep. They're frightened of me. And all I want to do is care for them. I'd like to get them in the yard so that I could see, well, are they boy sheep or girl sheep? Are they old sheep? I'm guessing they're probably old sheep. Do they need drenching? All these things I would like to do just to be able to care for them. But all they do is run away. And I think we can be like that with Jesus. We can have our minds made up that we'll be in charge. This is my place. I'll do what I want. You're the visitor, Jesus. You don't have any authority around here. I don't need your care in my life. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. But Jesus has compassion on you. And he looks at people who think like that, and he feels for you. He says he sees us in that situation, and he has compassion on us because we are like sheep without a shepherd. And it is this wonderful Saviour who would want to reach out and lift you up and place you in his family and forgive you because you need forgiving, and cleanse your heart because your heart needs to be cleansed, and to make you right in his family because that's the only way that you can be connected again with God by what Jesus has done. Jesus said about himself, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he has. And that's something that we can place our trust in. I want to say to you, my friends, that if you remember one thing, if there's one thing that you would think about exploring, and if there's one thing you would turn into the Word of God, and you can maybe start here in Luke chapter 1 and the statement that Mary makes about that he lifts up the lowly. I wonder whether that word would resonate in your mind. It wouldn't be an idea of how you think you measure up. It would be the fact that Jesus would lift you up. It doesn't matter whether you're depressed or whether you're anxious or whether you're overwhelmed or whether you are facing some of life's greatest sadnesses. He lifts up the lowly. And he does great things. And he accomplishes what he intends. All we need to do is believe and to trust and have confidence in this one who himself became lowly to reach out to us. My prayer is as you step into 2022, you would do so with confidence and trust in this Jesus, this wonderful Saviour. Could I just finish by saying in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says this. It says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Be real. Be real with each other. Don't pretend. Don't live your life just conveying an image that you've got it all together, because you haven't. None of us have. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Isn't that wonderful? That he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now you might say, God, please lift me up now. He will lift you up in due time. He will lift you up at the right time. And if there's a time that you need to work through where it's challenging and perplexing and hard, there are things that will be built into your life in that time. But he says this. He would invite you to believe it and live with trust and confidence. I have walked alongside people who have been proud and have conveyed an image of, I've got it all together. And if you would only take notice of me, my friends, I've seen those people come and go. It's a dangerous position to put yourself in if you're a proud person. Because God opposes the proud. But he gives his grace. He gives his grace to the humble. You can come before God honestly and say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm that great. Lord, I don't really honestly think I've got it nearly as together as what I would like to convey. But I believe that you're God who lifts up the lowly, lifts up the strugglers, lifts up the humble. You say that, so I believe it. You yourself became lowly to reach out to me. I am thankful for that. My friends, if we would step into this year with this confidence and with this trust, I could not predict what God would do through you, through us. Because he will accomplish what he desires through people who would believe him and trust in what he has said. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with the great need to be hearing from you, to be listening, Lord, for your word to us. Lord, we can't step into this week, let alone into a new year, without having someone greater than ourselves in charge. And we thank you, Lord God, that in the strangest way, from man's perspective, Lord, you did something that has radically changed lives for two millenniums. And Lord, we still celebrate. Lord, we still remember, and we can still know that you are God who does mighty things. Whether they're things like accommodation for someone in need at a hard time of the year, whether it's struggles that go on personally within our hearts, whether it's old habits that undo us, whether it's circumstances in our families over which we have no control. Lord, we thank you that you are God who does mighty things, that you lift up the lowly, that you are mindful of our humble estate. We thank you, Lord. And we can thank you, Lord, even because of these hard times that, Lord, each of us face at various times, that we can trust you, that you would lift us up. We thank you, Lord, that you give grace to the humble. But, Lord, for people that would pretend that they've got it all together and who would convey an image of being self-made, Lord, you send them away empty-handed. You send them away with all they've got is what they've got, just themselves. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would live with confidence and trust that you are God that lifts up the lowly, and that you are God who does great things, and that your zeal, your purposes, your earnest, Lord, will accomplish all that you have purposed. Lord, for each of us, for each of our families, Lord, for us as a church and for the church, Lord, that is dotted around this nation, in every town. Lord, may your purposes be fulfilled through ordinary vessels like us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.